getting a little hard of hearing, so I know I appreciate it when it's a little louder out there. So I'll try to enunciate today. Lift my voice a little bit because we're... Most of us are senior citizens. I see a few exceptions here today, but mainly we are. And I appreciate the prayers for Jan and I. I went through a little rough time, and Jan even more so. She's got this knee replacement surgery. Oh, boy. And I'm learning what it is to be a servant instead of being served. It's a little bit of a new experience for me. A lot harder than I first thought.
She gave you really high marks this week.
Oh, I don't know about that. Jan is very positive, if you know her. She's like that in our marriage, too. So it's good to have somebody like my wife. And she's recovering well. She was going to try to come today. She figured she'd sit in the back, but... she realizes she only has so much energy right now. I think by next week, probably, she'll be coming, Lord willing. So we can be praying for that. She's making an amazing recovery. And when we come to God's Word, we're always talking about the recovery of God's Word, the recovery of God's people, the recovery that we all need day to day. The renewing we need that can only come through the power of God. Amen. So last time we did a little bit of an introduction in the book of Titus. We really focused on one verse, which is verse 2, as far as beyond the background, which is the hope of eternal life in God, who cannot lie, who he promised before time began. So let's read. I'm just going to get really far today in the book of Titus. We're going to get through 3 verses. But that includes verse 2. So really, how many verses are we going to get through today?
2.
2, Lord willing. That's the idea. So let's start off and read verses 1 through 3 once again. Paul, a bondservant, or a slave, that's translated, of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords to godliness. The hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. What a treasure it is to us. Yes. We thank you, Lord, for it. We ask for your help in it now. Help in preaching, help in hearing, help in receiving, help in responding. Help in living the Christian life. Not always so easy. So, Lord, we commit this word to you in Jesus' name. So, here's the title for today. If you're one of those that writes it down. And we'll have to get to almost the end of the message before we... see what I'm saying here today, and the title is Treasures Hidden in the Sand. Mm-hmm. Now, I've never had a title like that before. There's always a first. I try not to keep them the same, but again, we went over verse 2, and I would just mention a little something about it again. And it's good by the way of reminder. But the Bible, not Bob Myers, the Bible declares that every man, woman, and child is born eternal. And we took you to various verses. It's even declared in the Old Testament many times, succinctly in the book of Daniel, how some will awake to everlasting life and some to what? every everlasting shame or condemnation is the way the Lord says it in the New Testament. See, by God's grace, we're going to get into this, we chose life when we believed in the Lord Jesus. But how did it happen? That's a mystery, which we're now going to look at a little bit. All we can do is just look at things a little bit in the Word of God, because it's so deep, so wide, so rich in what it is. It's all a mystery. And what are we talking about? Let's look at verse 1. The faith, I've broken this down into three sections, verse 1 here. The faith of God's elect, the acknowledgement of the truth, and then the third part, which according to godliness. So the first part, the faith of God's elect. Wait, I just thought you had to be a good person. We've heard this a lot, and we're going to come across a lot of people. We have a chance to share the gospel. Now, I want to put it in an extreme. Extreme is, turn that off, David. The faith of God's elect, okay? So, we could take the rest of our time to talk about faith, couldn't we? That could be the rest of the message. But this is the faith of God's elect. How did it happen? We don't know. This is something we can't explain a lot when we share the gospel, probably even when we think about it. How did God choose me? He chose us. We didn't choose him. We were born, now this is not maybe so popular to say, but we're born damned. We're born on the highway to hell. There's some song out there, what, Highway to Heaven? We're born on a highway to hell. Now, there's an age of accountability. I believe that children, and it's recorded in God's Word, go immediately into God's presence. And I also believe there's an age of accountability. And that age comes for every man, woman, and child. And it's on a highway to hell, even if you're born in a Christian family. Of course, we know it doesn't make you a Christian. One of my pet peeves is, if I meet somebody who comes from a Christian family and you ask them, when did they become a Christian? I was always a Christian. No, you weren't. That's not consistent with the Word of God. That's some weird idea. Now, you might have come from a Christian family, but there comes a day where you have to make a decision to follow Jesus. But it's a mystery how that happens. But believing in the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to read a verse again out of John 5, a few verses here. I want to read them all. Sometimes we just read the Bible. You know what? That's good enough. I don't have to give explanation about every one of these things. You just got to let the Bible speak. This is important when we share the gospel too. John 5:24 says this, most assuredly I say to you. Now when he says most assuredly in other versions, who has a different version? The King James, it probably says something else. Truly, truly. Truly, truly, NIV, is that what it says?
Verily, verily.
Verily, verily. I say to you that he who hears my word. Now, this is really important when Jesus says this kind of thing. Listen to me. He's what he's saying. Hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Wow. Hallelujah. So incredible. What a message. You pass from death unto life because you repented, because you're a good person, because of all these different things you did, you followed me. No, you pass from death unto life because you believed in me. Now, let's talk about that a little further in context. Most assuredly, verse 25, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Boy, what a mouthful. They must have just been.
Yeah.
This is a mouthful for us right now. Imagine them. Do not marvel at this. There's a bunch of marveling going on. For the hour is coming in which all who are on the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. There it is. Every person's eternal. So this is a good opening to remember this. If we come across people that say, well, I just don't believe anything happens to you after you die. Well, that's not what Jesus proclaimed. He proclaimed everyone's going to be alive one way or the other. But it's our faith in Christ somehow that has brought us from death unto life. From death, let's put it this way, from death everlasting to everlasting life. And we know that we have a proof in the Christian life too. Now this is encouraging. Out of 1 John, we probably have this verse memorized. We know that we have passed from death to life. Because of what? Somebody better say it.
You love the brethren.
God put it in our hearts. Somehow, miraculously, here's a proof that, and not only just the brethren, you have a love for people, the lost. You know, I mean, we have a desire that they come to know Jesus. I mean, I think one of the saddest things my wife and I experienced, and now only the Lord knows, but everyone in her family had some relationship with the Lord, at least, some more than others, but they're believers. Her dad had not made a decision to follow Jesus, had not confessed the Lord Jesus, and that didn't seem to bother three quarters of the Christians in the family, but it bothered Jan and I. Because why? You don't want to have them. Look, even we have stories in the Bible of a person who's in hell begging God that somebody could go so that they didn't have to come to where he was. This is important. This is the issue of life, passing from everlasting death to everlasting life. And it's good to remind ourselves, and sometimes I just do it because it's here in the Word of God. I bring a simple message. I bring the gospel because the gospel's in the book, and it's repeated so many different times. But it's good to remind ourselves daily of the power of the gospel. Okay, the faith of God's elect has brought us into eternal life. Okay, let's look at the second part, the acknowledgement of the truth. The acknowledgement of God's truth. You see, I'm no longer, this is the problem a lot of people have with coming to Jesus. It's that a lot of people have that have, a lot of us have problems with this, but a lot of addicts of various sorts have a problem with this. Because you have to come under somebody's authority. You know who the authority you have to come under? The person in the government of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have to come under, every true believer. Acknowledgement of the truth. So we say, I'm no longer the authority in my life. God is. And God's word defines who I am as a person. Very important principle. When I was in college, I rented a place in Eagle Rock, and there was a family next to us, and a grandmother and a grandfather were raising a son that a grandson, excuse me, who didn't have a father. And so I didn't really adopt him, but I spent a lot of time with him. And his name was Sean. And I took him places and tried to, you know, the little bit of free time I had would give to him. And Sean was about, when I did this, about 7 or 8 years old. And I would try to speak principles into his life, mainly from the Word of God. And you know what he'd always say? I know. Yeah. As a seven or eight year old, I know. And he kept saying it so often to me. You know what I finally said? I said, shut up, Sean. You have no idea what you're talking about. And listen to me. There's an old show on TV now. I'm really dating myself. Father Knows Best.
Oh, yeah. Still on.
Right?
It's still on.
It's still on. Yeah. On reruns. That's funny. But as a Christian, we have to declare, I don't know all of it. God does. And the principles are in his book, within the pages of his book. John 6:63 says this, it's the Spirit who gives the life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So what we are saying when we believe in Jesus, we're declaring that we don't know best, but God does. And the guidebook is the book which you guys have open here, the Word of God. What a blessing. That's an acknowledgement of the truth. Now, what does this do? It leads to our third section, which accords to godliness. Now, there's a philosophy that can be adopted. And even in the modern church, it says, once saved, always saved. Now, get on the edge of your chair here. I believe in the security of the believer. But this is what I'm getting at. So we got to be careful with saying that, because what we can be saying is that it doesn't really matter how we live. Because of our faith in Christ, we pass from death unto life, like we just said. But Paul is saying, basically, let's go to verse 12. For one of them, a prophet of their own, in chapter 1, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true, therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. We could put in there Americans. Now, that's a generalization. So don't start throwing stuff at me, but it's a generalization. But, you know, Paul was addressing a people that Titus had a big task on his hand to appoint elders in every city. There's quite a few cities in Crete. And they were living a lifestyle that was probably similar to something I just discussed now. Now that I'm saved, I've been gone from death unto life, I can basically live my life any way I want to because of the grace of God. Now, who was accused of preaching that? Paul was accused of preaching that. But he stood against that, and he wanted to make sure in the beginning of this book that he said this, that acknowledgement of God's word, his truth, who the person of the Lord Jesus is, will lead us towards godliness. See, I believe that we have to depend upon the life of God to deliver us from this present darkness of the age we live in. I really mean, with all my heart, I mean that. We need a total dependence. there's so many distractions. Talking about the Word of God, again, 2 Timothy, one of our key verses we went through, 2:19, it says, nevertheless, a solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows who are His, who are eternal, who are not. Eternal life, that is. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See, the acknowledging of the truth rebukes the natural man. My way. Me, me, and I. Now, here's the problem with the acknowledging of the truth, which leads to godliness, a real form of godliness, a sincere departing from iniquity, which we all need. We need God's help with this. The natural man's very strong. We need to depend upon God. He's our only deliverance. Now, I'm going to name names here. A few of you today. No. Don't get scared. No, I'm going to name names of an organization, and I won't even talk about the specifics of it. If you want to look at it, you can find out that it's true. Because I have looked into it. Now, you've heard of Campus Crusade for Christ. What's the name they're calling it by now?
Crew.
Now, that's a mistake. They should still be Campus Crusade for Christ. Already, they're acquiescing to society because it doesn't sound good anymore. Crusades.
Right.
Well, it is. We're on a crusade here, so to speak. And I didn't like that to begin with. And they've been taking a lot of heat recently because they were teaching on college campuses to accommodate certain lifestyles. And that you could call yourself, I'm not going to even say it, blank type of Christian. Or blank type of Christian. Totally contrary to acknowledging the truth of what God's Word says. This is the standard. We don't make the standard up. The standard is the Word of God. And it never changes, right? Who else doesn't ever change? God never changes. He's in the process of transforming us. We're not transforming Him. So they backed away from some of the teaching because some of the leaders were teaching this at the highest level of acquiescing to society, basically, I'll say. And you know why they backed away? Because it started hurting their pocketbook. Because a lot of the donors objected when they heard and said, wait a minute, and good for them. They said, this teaching is not according to the Word of God. You're not allowing the Word of God to be the final authority in your ministry. 2 Timothy 3:5, another important verse, says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away. And here's what I'm going to say. We need to turn away from any teacher who preaches contrary to the full counsel of the Word of God. Well, you might say they also preach a lot of good things. I've never heard a sermon spoken like that. But if they mix it with things that are not from the Word of God, that preacher is to be rejected. Sorry, I'm being blunt here. We can't listen to people who are not consistent with the whole counsel of the Word of God. Just cut them off, is what Paul is saying. There's no reason to listen to that. Okay. Well, a couple of my notes are repeated here. But here, the Word of God is clearly saying acknowledgement to the authority of the Word of God leads to us. Let's put it this way. with a real desire to depart from iniquity. And who puts that desire in our hearts? God does, by the Holy Spirit. There's not a person here who's not the Lord's, who doesn't agree with what this word is saying, and we have at least the desire, okay? We're not perfect. Do we have a desire to be perfect? We do. That's by God's grace. We have a desire to be perfect. But wait a minute, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the sin that so easily ensnares me. You don't know the problems of my life and the family issues that I have, or the things I can't get away from no matter what I try and how hard I try. You're right. But you know who does? God knows. The Word of God has a way of working through our lives and working through the problems in our life. And cutting through, it's alive and living and sharper than a two-edged sword to transform our lives. I heard a sister recently, I don't even know how I got there, you know, Christian, you listen to Christian things on YouTube, all of a sudden you get various things that pop up that are similar to that. And I like what she said. She said, if you've got a problem in life or tendencies with a certain sin, you need to take it to the cross of Jesus and nail it there, even if you need to 1,000 times a day. Yep. Don't give up. Keep taking it to the cross of Jesus. I thought about that. See, is she talking about a practical victory in Christ Jesus? Now, first of all, again, let's just go back to your God's dearly beloved child. There should be no condemnation of what I'm saying right now. But we have a desire to live a godly life. But you know what dawned on me about the cross of Jesus? As Janet, my wife likes science fiction. I can't stand it. So occasionally I'll wander in while she's watching science fiction. Watch this one thing. It was about people in space going towards a black hole. But what do we know about a black hole? At least what we think we know. Everything gets sucked into it, right? That's like the cross of Jesus. It can take every single sin and just obliterate it. Every single thing, nothing's too big. Now, let's put it this way. That guy who just murdered somebody, shot that guy that speaks on college campuses, he's not beyond saving.
That's right.
I've been praying for that family. That father that brought him in, that showed me something. It touched me. That must have been exceedingly difficult. But that's how powerful the cross of Jesus is. That's how powerful it is for us to take our issues of life, too. He has the ability to do it all. We don't, he does. Okay, let's move on to verse 3. I'm not going to finish. You notice I skipped verse 2 because we spoke on that last time. We spoke a little on it in the beginning. But in due time, his manifest his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. But in due time, he manifested his word. Now, we already mentioned how Jesus himself is the word of God. Matthew 4:15 through 7 says this, the land of Zebulun, and I'm reading this, I hope you're okay with me kind of ad-libbing and stopping when I start the verse. It's tied to a verse I'm going to bring up at the end of the message. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light is dawn. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Began to preach the gospel. So what I'm saying is, Jesus came at the perfect time in history. We could say, well, why doesn't Jesus come right now? This would have been the perfect time. Society's gone crazy, you know, it seems like now. No, that was the perfect time to get the message out. In fact, it wasn't just the perfect time. There's a lot of people Jesus declared before his time that were waiting for what? Waiting for his time to come. We read about it in the beginning of the gospel. Some of the people even came in the temple and recognized him miraculously as a baby. How did that happen? Only by the Holy Spirit. But he came at the perfect time. In fact, Jesus alluded to this. He almost got killed for it. But he said, your father Abraham, to the Jews, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Wow, it gave perspective to being a nomad wandering around in the desert. It should give perspective. Isn't it wonderful? Everything can go wrong around us, but we know we're on a mission. We're pilgrims. We're nomads like Abraham. We're looking forward to that greater day with Christ Jesus than we live in even now. Then the Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old and you have seen Abraham. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So there's another one. If you ever hear anyone say that Jesus doesn't proclaim that he's God in the gospel, why did they want to kill him? Where's the first place that I am showed up in the Bible? In the burning bush. To Moses. They knew exactly what he was alluding to. That's why they tried to kill him. So his word through preaching is what it says here. In due time was manifested, we're going to say the gospel, that time that people look forward to when Jesus showed up in history. But here to something else too, the preaching of the gospel. Through preaching, in the Greek word is called K-E-R-U-X. I suspect it's called kerex. What it means is a trumpet or a herald. Now, for those of you that went, and there's probably at least half of us here went, back when we went to some of the older conferences, remember what would happen? Early in the morning, Mike Taylor would get up with the trumpet. He made sure nobody was sleeping too late, but he sang some, the trumpet was it Amazing Grace? I don't remember. What was the?
Reveille?
I don't remember, but it was a little shocking to me when I was in, you know, the first time I came and heard it. But it's that idea, proclaiming in the world the light of the gospel. Now listen, to some is given the gift of preaching, as it says in the Word of God. But all men who go from everlasting death to everlasting life are meant to proclaim the gospel. Don't say that's a gift of just one person. Now, there's people that are gifted to share the gospel. We had one speak here. I mean, I think that Ray Comfort's uniquely qualified. Somehow, God's given him grace to be kind to unkind people, to show them the love of God, but still show them they're sinners and somehow bring many to Christ. That's quite a gift. But we're all meant in our own sphere of influence to share the gospel where we go. But I want to talk about the importance, and we've talked to it, alluded to it, the importance of preaching God's word. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16, which we said might have been one of the key verses of all of 2 Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, or for today's message, which accord acknowledgement of the truth which accord into godliness. Romans 10, let's turn there just briefly. We'll decide how much we're going to read of this. We've heard this probably. Let's begin at verse 14 in chapter 10 of the book of Romans. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? Or how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's dearly beloved children. That's a fact of the Christian life. But I'm going to say another fact of living life once we become a Christian. Satan is dead set against you knowing God's word. Absolutely. He wants to keep you from God's word. Now, what I'm saying right now resonates with every one of you because you know the pull on your life. I'm not saying how much. I'm just saying Satan wants to keep you from God's word. This book is powerful, as we had just said. It's alive. It's living. It gives direction as a guidepost for our lives. It's the book that we can't live without. There's certain things that we can... Didn't Jesus even say that? Man shall not... To answer the devil with it, he said, man shall not live by... bread alone, but every word that proceeds from, we can't live without it, is what Jesus is saying. We can't live the Christian life. Notice I didn't say you can't be a Christian. You can't live the Christian life successfully, depending upon God, without it. But you know what else, what Satan wants to keep you from? A lot of things, actually, but keep you from the preaching of God's word. From the hearing of God's word. We need it all. Keep you. Listen, Satan is a destroyer and is out to destroy our lives. It's good to know who the enemy is. If you go into a war, it doesn't do you any good if you don't know who the enemy is. But you might be saying, well, I don't understand God's word. I never said, or the Bible never declared, that it's an easy book to understand. But the word of God and the spirit of God, because you're God's elect child, will give you help. And here's the other thing. We ask God for help when we come to it. Not only if we're having trouble, hello, McFly is in that old movie, we got to ask for help. I'm having trouble isn't it refreshing when a new believer comes in into our midst and they say, I'm having trouble understanding where we're going with this and what the word of God is declaring. Would you guys pray for me? Have you ever heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah, we've heard that. That's an incredible prayer request. We need to sometimes, even us that think we're more spiritual, ask for help.
Amen.
From the Lord. Pray for me. I'm having trouble getting through the word right now. Nothing wrong with that. It's good. It gives help to the rest of the brothers and sisters who hear that. We're not perfect. But also, Satan wants to keep us away from the study of God's word with God's people, Bible study. He wants to keep any kind of Bible study he wants to keep us from. Now, on Friday night, and I want to finish up with this section here, I just thought it's pretty much, well, it's kind of where we ended. I'd like to turn to the book of Deuteronomy. It's where we are, and this is the end of, they call Moses' song. I don't really like that because it's not Moses' song. It's a song that was given to Moses by, I believe also Joshua's in on that, but given to Moses by God to tell the children of Israel. After that song's over with, and he had finished in chapter 32. Wait a minute. Yeah, 32, verse 45. So Moses finished speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said to them, and I believe these could be literally the last words of Moses to the children of God. I mean, I don't know that the blessing is in chronological order or not, but these are some of the last words. He said, set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful, all the words of this law. Now, this is the verse I want to focus on. For it is not a futile thing for you, because it's your life. And by this word you shall prolong your days in the land. And we know the land is a type of Christ. Prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. It's not a futile thing. It's your life, it's my life to pick up the book. Satan wants to keep us from it. It's not a futile thing. Sometimes it can feel futile. Have you ever read the Word of God and said, oh man, I'm just not getting a lot out of it. Just doesn't seem to, and all of a sudden you get out there in the world, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brings a verse to mind where when you're in the midst of a trial or a circumstance, all of a sudden God strengthens you. You feel like you're Samson. The Holy Spirit comes upon you, you could feel like you could slay 1,000 people, so to speak. God does that. God does amazing, miraculous things. But you know what? We need the book. Got to get to Bible study. It's our life. The Bible declares your life is hidden with God in Christ, doesn't it? And I've said this before, and I believe it. It's the whole counsel of the Word of God. Not only is our life hid in Christ, but it's hid in Christ within the pages of the book of the Bible. Our lives are hidden within the pages of the book. You want to, it's not found anywhere else. It's found in Christ Jesus, but it's found in the Word of God. We have no future outside of that. We have a great future there with Christ Jesus. And what can I say about God's word and what has not been said already? I mean, time escapes me. We could go hours on end talking about the power of God's word to transform. We could have a testimony meeting right now. We could have person after person come up and say, you know, I was just reading the Bible and there was one verse. Maybe it's even just one word that catches us and holds on to us. It's a treasure. In Deuteronomy, if you just look over to the next chapter, and starting in verse 18 of chapter 33, it says this. We're going to get to that on Friday night, but this is a verse for today's message. and of Zebulun. Now, where did we just read about Zebulun? Right? Out of Matthew, we read about Zebulun. And it says, rejoice, Zebulun, and you're going out, and Issachar in your tents. They shall call the peoples to the mountain. They shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. They shall partake of the abundance of the seas and treasures hidden in the sand. Now, I don't know if you heard on the news this week. There was a girl, I forget which birthday she was celebrating. I saw a picture of her. She was about 14 or 15 years old. And she wanted to go to this place to search for diamonds. Did you read about this? Some of you? Well, so her mom or dad, whatever, they stopped at a dollar store and got simple beach toys. You know how you can sift through sand with a beach toy? And she went to this place called the Crater of the Diamond State Park in Arkansas. And you know what? She found a rare chocolate diamond, 2.79 carats, to celebrate her birthday. It's a treasure hidden in the sand that she found. Psalm 119 says, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure, or spoil, the NIV, I believe, says. And this treasure is not found by money, but it needs to be sought out, sifted through sometimes, read a lot, sometimes maybe reading a chapter over and over and over again. You know how many times treasure or riches are mentioned in the Bible? From what I can tell, from other people have said, up to 2,000 times. At least nearly 100 talking about spiritual riches. Lots of it in the New Testament, lots of it in the book of Ephesians. Treasures hidden in the sand. These treasures are so amazing. I would like to take one verse, which is Ephesians, I believe, chapter 2. Well, I know right now, if I said Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, there'd probably be quite a few people who could say that. I believe it's by grace you've been saved. Okay, Bob, get back to Ephesians. But we need now to think of, in light of today's message, chapter 2, verse 7, right before that. This is what God's going to do in the ages to come. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, heaven, we've always heard, is timeless. That's not really true. I've seen numerous things in the Bible that talk about ages. In the book of Revelation, of the coming back of the Lord Jesus, people are saying, how long do we have to wait? So you can't just say time is nothing. Jesus came in time. Yes, he's eternal. He's before time. He's out of sight of time. For you sci-fi people, he's in the fifth dimension, so to speak, before time and out of time. You know, I can't explain that. But here it is, in the ages to come. How many ages? Forever. Everlasting life. There's ages we're going to go through. I don't understand that. All I know, that's what the word declares. But here's what I do know, too, something about these ages. His exceeding riches are never going to run out. And his exceeding riches towards his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus is never going to get old. It's only going to get bigger and bigger. We're only scratching the surface of how amazing it's going to be. You know, there's so many songs about the grace of God, but really, it's going to be one of the songs of heaven. And God has many treasures for his people that are hidden in the sand, like this girl that found the diamond. But we're going to have to do a little sifting, a little bit of heavy lifting when maybe it's not so comfortable. If you're like me, sometimes you get busy with life. You think, you know, what's wrong? And then all of a sudden, oh, maybe I just better pick up the Bible and start reading. And all of a sudden, what happens? Our perspective's changed. God speaks to us. So that's it. Thank you for being a good audience.